ओम ज्ञानचिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Better than the Brahmana who knows the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. Without expectation of reward. Purport. Artagya Brahmana refers to one who has made a thorough analytical study of the Absolute Truth and who knows that the Absolute Truth is realized in three different phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. If someone not only has this knowledge but is able to clear all doubts if questioned about the Absolute Truth, he is considered better. Further, there may be a learned Brahmana Vaishnava who can explain clearly and eradicate all doubts. But if he does not follow the Vaishnava principles, then he is not situated on a higher level. One must be able to clear all doubts and simultaneously be situated in the Brahminical characteristics. Such a person who knows the purpose of the Vedic injunctions, who can imply the principles laid down in the Vedic literatures, and who teaches his disciples in that way, is called an acharya. The position of an acharya is that he executes devotional service with no desire for elevation to a higher position of life. The highest perfectional brahmana is the Vaishnava. A Vaishnava who knows the science of the Absolute Truth but is not able to preach such knowledge to others is described as being in the lower stage. One who not only understands the principles of the science of God but can also preach is in the second stage. And one who not only can preach but who also sees everything in the Absolute Truth and the Absolute Truth in everything is in the highest class of Vaishnavas. It is mentioned here that a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. In fact, the highest stage of Brahminical perfection is reached when one becomes a Vaishnava. Better, better, better. This verse, the word better, comes again and again. It's a gradation of a gradation within highly elevated persons. One who knows the purpose of the Vedas is a highly elevated person. That's the first person Krishna means, Kapila Dev mentions here. And he goes on to say then there's better than him and better than and one who's better than him, there's another stage, another stage. So one who knows the purpose of the Vedas, that's a very high level. Most people in the world today have never heard of the Vedas. And those that have, not many are interested in understanding the Vedic knowledge. Some of them who understand or attempt to understand the Vedic knowledge do it for the specific purpose of deprecating it. There are Muslims, Christians and atheistic Hindus who study the Shastra in, of course, a superfluous way, with the aim of undermining it. The whole study of Indology and Sanskrit studies that originated in the Western world was specifically set up for the purpose of undermining the Vedic knowledge. So to find someone who actually is understanding the purpose of the Vedas, that's nowadays especially very unusual. The only way to understand the purpose of the Vedas is to study the Vedas in the way that the Vedas tell us to. Tadvijnanartham sagurum evabhigachit. To understand the scientific knowledge of the Vedas. Tadvijnanartham. This word again comes. Artagya. Here is mentioned artagya. One who knows the purpose. So what is that artha? Tadvijnanartham. That knowledge. What is that knowledge? In this verse, if we see the verses previous to this, it means that one who realizes that everything in this world is completely useless, even up to the heavenly planets, such a person, for the sake of gaining the knowledge of that which is beyond the heavenly planets, that which is beyond material enjoyment, has to study the Vedic knowledge, tadvijnanartham. Saha, he must, guru, must go to a guru. And that guru should be, of course, also artagya, one who knows the purpose of the Vedas. Otherwise, rote learning is going on. That's the Vedic system of teaching the Vedas is what is called a rote learning. You see, you hear, you repeat. You'll see in traditional gurukuls even today. They hear and they repeat. And this way they learn one Veda, usually not more than one Veda. But if the person teaching is also just a learning by rote, just cramming it in, then there may be so many there will be so many misunderstandings if he's not artagya. I had the experience once in Ved Dwaraka, which probably most of you have visited, the island off Oka, close to Dwaraka, called Ved Dwaraka, where in the morning if you don't mind, Sharmaji, leaning on the pillars, not first class bhakti. In the morning, the boys, they had the Gurukul boys chanting. They were learning the Vedas. So then afterwards I was speaking with one of the pundits, and he had some interpretation. He said, you see, Krishna died nearby at Prabhas because he shot Vali. When he was Ram, he shot Vali. So for that sin, then he had... It's horrible. Anyway, Hare Krishna, enough. You can get the gist of it. Anyway, the person's a rascal and a demon. Even though he's living in Ved Dwaraka, and he's teaching the Vedas, but his siddhant, or his understanding, is completely demoniac. It's avajananti mamudha manushintanam ashritam. It's considering Krishna to be an ordinary person who takes a material body. And not only that, but they say not only does he take a material body, they don't even say he's a pious person. Even if you say that, yes, we accept Krishna as a pious man, to say that, that may sound like praise, but it's actually demoniac, because it's undermining Krishna's position. Just like if the general in the army comes, and you introduce him to someone, oh, this is a very good sergeant. So if it's a sergeant and you say that, then that's a compliment. But if you say it about a general, it's an insult, because the position of sergeant is well below that of a general. So if we say Krishna is a very pious man, that's insulting. That's incorrect, it's wrong, and it means that even though one may have learned the Vedas, he doesn't understand anything at all about them, because Vaideshya Sarveraham Eva Vedyaha. The purpose of the Vedas is to understand Krishna. And to understand Krishna means to understand Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the Supreme Controller. Satchidananda Vigraha. He has an eternal, fully spiritual, blissful body. He is not subject to karma. So if we say that Krishna is a pious man, that's demonia. Although it may sound like we're praising him. And if we say he's an impious man, well, that's even more, it's even more demonic. So one who understands the purpose of the Vedas is an elevated person. It seems from the context that artha-gya, one who knows the purpose of the Vedas, what's being described as the artha doesn't mean the purna artha, or the complete understanding of the purpose of the Vedas, because it's said that higher than him, higher than him, higher than him. One who understands the complete purpose of the Vedas is a pure devotee, who's mentioned as the highest and best. But one who can understand at least that, what is that? Triguna Vishaya Veda, Nistray Gunyo Bhavarjana, that the Vedas, they at least superficially deal with the subject matters of the three modes of material nature. And one should go beyond that, Krishna tells Arjuna, and become situated beyond the modes of material nature. So one who understands that the purpose of the Vedas is not to enjoy material life in a sophisticated, pious way, as the Vedas seem to teach us, but to at least come to the standard of atato brahma jignasa. This is the beginning of real Vedic understanding. When one understands that the prescriptions given in the Vedic literature for going to the heavenly planets are nonsense, because this material world is full of misery. Having understood this, having become disgusted with the attempt for material enjoyment, one should inquire into the absolute truth. So if one can understand that the Brahma, the subject of the matter, the subject matter of the Vedas, is the absolute truth, as described in Vedanta Sutra, Janmadhyasya Yataha. The absolute truth is the source of all emanations. Then one can be said to understand the purpose of the Vedas, although full understanding means Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabdite. To understand the absolute truth, not in a vague way, but to clearly understand what is Brahman, who is Paramatma, and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one who understands the purpose of the Vedas is one who can dissipate all doubts. One may know theoretically, but one has to have deep realization and understanding to be able to dissipate all doubts. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangha muktibihi. Sadhus, they, same word, chitta, here's chitta, chindanti, they cut. Sadhus, they cut doubts by their words, words of realization. They cut all the misunderstandings within the heart. So there are various levels of understanding. There's, in the Vedas, it's mentioned how once Indradev, the king of the Devas, and Virochana, who was at that time the king of the Asuras, they both approached simultaneously, they approached Brahma for Atmagyana, knowledge of the self. So Brahma, he first of all taught that Atma means the body, which is true. We see in Monier Williams' dictionary, which I'm sure Brahma didn't consult, the Atma, the meaning of Atma is given body, mind, self, and super self. Super, exactly what Monier Williams says, I don't know. I must admit, I'm bluffing here. Anyway, these are different meanings of Atma. Body, mind, the jiva, and paramatma. These are some different meanings of Atma. So Brahma, he first of all told both Virochan and Indra, the enemies, were sitting there listening to him, because we're all children of Brahma. They're not far removed. But Indra, then there's Kashyap, and Indra comes from Kashyap, and Aditi, who Kashyap comes, he's one of the Manas Putras, isn't he? He's born from the mind of Brahma. And Virochana, I suppose, is his grandnephew, because he's the son of Hiranyakashipu, who's, no, he's his nephew, because he's also the son of Kashyap, the grandson of Kashyap by Diti. So Brahma first of all taught that Atma means the body. So the body is very important. You should look after the body. The body is the most important thing, and whatever you do, be fit, be healthy, be strong, and enjoy life through the body. Atma Gyan means the body. So Virochana was very satisfied. Very good. That's exactly what I thought. Brahma is very knowledgeable. So he was satisfied and he went off, and Brahma said, okay, just, Indra was waiting because he knew this is not true. Even Indra might be enjoying the body, but he's got more sense than to philosophically think that the body is the self. Otherwise he wouldn't have gone to Brahma for Atma Gyan. He's already quite competent in enjoying the body. So then Brahma, he taught that the self is different from the body. The Atma, the understanding of Atma, higher understanding, or more subtle understanding. What is Atma Gyan? Atma means the Keshagra Shatabhagasya Kalpitasya, whatever it is. If Atma means mind, I forgot that verse. Anyway, the Atma means that very subtle spiritual entity who in this world is conceived of as being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. So then people, devotees ask, well, can we measure that if we get a good enough microscope? But the word is given there, kalpitasya, it's conceived of as such. The idea is that, it's very smaller than anything that can be imagined in this world. Anor aniya, very small. And of course, Paramatma enters even within, so we have information. So, knowledge of the self, that is the purpose of the Vedas, and one who can dispel all doubts about that by his self-realization is considered better. One has to have to be able to dispel all doubts, one has to be very learned, and one has to be fixed in transcendental knowledge, by which the channel of Vedic understanding is open. The gift, their gifts of Saraswati, who is worshipped for learning. One gift is to be able to remember, to memorize a Veda. One has to have good brain, but then to understand it in all details and to be able to explain to others who may have doubts, well, that requires more learning, and it also requires insight, realization. So that's on a much higher level still. And even to learn a Veda, even without understanding, that requires that's a high level, we can say, compared to what most people are doing. But then to have an understanding of its purpose is better than to not only personally understand, but to be able to, by one's clear understanding, being able to eradicate others' doubts. That is a better level still. And Prabhupada in the, Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he gives the definition of an acharya, this achinoti ashastrani, acharya sthapyatyapi, swayam acharate yasmad, acharya sthina kirtita. Prabhupada has given in English that one who knows the purpose of the Vedas, who can practically apply those in people's lives, who gives direction how to practically apply that, who teaches his disciples in that way, is called an acharya. So here, better than the person who can break all doubts, is one who is fixed in his proper duty. So this calls to mind Sanatana Goswami saying to Haridas Thakur that, what is that? What does he say? Achar kare keha na kare prachar. What is that? Prachar kare keha na kare achar. Achar prachar. Name karaha dumi karj. Tumi sarava guru. Tumi jagatayar arj. That some people, they're very good at talking, but they don't follow what they say. And others, they're very good at following, but they can't explain to others why they're doing so. Or they don't take the trouble, or they're not inclined to preach to others. But Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, you do both in relationship to the holy name. Therefore, you are the guru of all and the best of all. Even though Haridas Thakur, from the social point of view, was an outcast. He wasn't allowed inside the Jagannath temple because of being reputed to have been born in a Muslim family. Sanatana Goswami was also ostracized because of his association, even though he was born in a very high-class Brahmin family. He was ostracized from Brahminical society for having intimately associated with Muslims. But both of them, the people who ostracized them, are all forgotten now. But Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur are remembered even today for their teachings, their instructions, their purity, because they are both Mahabhagavat devotees on the highest level and personal associates of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sanatana Goswami said about Haridas Thakur that you are the best of all in human society. because you both follow the principles of bhakti, especially chanting the holy names, and you preach that also. Haridas Thakur is the ideal preacher. Great humility, personally chanting the holy names with great relish and preaching the glories of the holy name. So his position is better than that of a theoretical scholar. Even there are some devotees who are philosophically very adept, but they don't seem to have the desire to benefit others or fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission by preaching Krishna consciousness, taking all endeavors to preach Krishna consciousness. So they may be adept in Shastra, and that's very good. But better still is one who takes the trouble to preach Krishna consciousness. And it's the nature of preaching Krishna consciousness, it seems to be like that, that one who preaches more may not seem to be so much knowledgeable, because to become very knowledgeable in Shastra takes a lot of time. People who are scholars or scholarly, they spend all their life, most of their life, studying. That's why generally it's, one thinks that if one has to learn something, or if one wants to go deeply into a subject, it's better to approach an older person, because an older scholar, because a younger scholar might be scholarly, but an older person is going to generally will be more scholarly, because they don't stop studying. They just go on and on and on all their lives, and the ocean of knowledge is unlimited. So one is generally considered that you go to an older person, and they'll know more. It takes a lot of time to read and absorb so many different literatures, or even one may be particularly expert in one literature, but to become expert in understanding one literature, if one is to become an expert in studying Srimad Bhagavatam, that one will have to study, I mean, there are so many commentaries for a start. And then, even if we study all the commentaries again and again, our level of and depth of understanding will simply increase. So it takes a lot of time and energy and endeavor and blessings to become learned in Shastra. If one is preaching, well, there's unlimited work to do in preaching also. So it may be that one is not so learned as one who dedicates his life, or the focus of his life is study. However, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that the preacher is dearer to him. Simply to be a scholar is not necessarily pleasing to Krishna. Of course, Krishna is pleased if one with devotion recites his glories from the Shastra. Krishna is pleased. Why are we having these classes? One reason is for the pleasure of Bhagavan. That's part of pleasing him, is to recite his glories. So either by this part, means one reads a verse, explains it a little bit, reads another verse, few verses at a time, or parayana, one reads the whole, just reads through the whole scripture. Or by katha, just like this. Well, this is part, we're taking one verse at a time. Kata means then you just speak. So all of these are pleasing to Krishna. So this discussion of Bhagavatam is for our own purification and elucidation, but it's also directly for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna becomes very pleased when devotees chant his glories. So one may preach by giving classes, although over and beyond that, giving formal classes, to preach Krishna consciousness means to do whatever is necessary to bring people to the platform of being able to hear about Krishna. That is the first stage in devotional service. Of course, there are various classifications. Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha is the most famous classification of levels of devotional service. At first there's faith, and then there's association with devotees. But another classification is that first of all comes Shravan Dasha, the level of being able to hear. Not everyone is able to hear. Not everyone is interested to hear. Most of the hearing that goes on, or most of the katas that go on, it's not really on the level of Hari Katha that's meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord. It's more on the level of katha with Hari is there, but it's more for pleasing the hearers. It's a kind of pious entertainment for the hearers. But one who is actually ready to hear Bhagavatam must be ready to hear it in all details. And there are many verses which the superficial reciters of Bhagavatam don't recite to their hearers, which their hearers need to hear. We find at the beginning, Sukadev Goswami, what he first says to Parikshit Maharaj, he doesn't say, okay, let's go to the Ras Leela. What does he say? Shrotavya adini rajendra nirnam santi sahasrashah apashyatam atmatattvam griheshu grihamedinam. The people are discussing so many things. They have so many things to hear about. But they are blind to knowledge of self-realization because they are grihamedhi. Grihamedhi in this context means an envious person. One who is violent to or hateful of others. So they're not fit to hear, just like Virochan. He wasn't fit to hear higher knowledge. Hearing, yes, but not hearing what he needed to hear. He wasn't ready to hear Nunam pramatah kurute vikarma yad indriya pritiya aprinoti. He wasn't ready to hear this verse of Bhagavatam, that persons who act for sense gratification are insane. Rather, when he heard Brahma say that acting for sense gratification is the purpose of life, he thought, very good. So in the name of getting Vedic knowledge, he simply increased his insanity of being attached to the body. But Bhagavatam is meant for cutting the material attachment. Sato griha kshetra sutabdha vitaya janasya mohoya mahammameti. Attachments to home, wife, children, money, bank balance, country, all these different things. Cutting that so that one can begin to enter into the real subject matter of Bhagavata, which is the subject matter is Bhagavan, Naam, Gun, Roop, Leela, the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one makes a show of hearing about Bhagavan, speaking or hearing Bhagavad Katha, but there's no chindanti manovya sangam, there's no attempt to cut the material attachments of the hearers, then this is useless here. It's a farce. It's not shravandasha. One is not actually fit for hearing. So that kind of harikata, that is compared to the poisonous or the milk which has become poisonous due to the touch of the serpent's lips. This is shravanam. It said, don't hear it. Shravanam naiva kartavya. Avaishnava makod girnam putam hari katamritam. Shravanam naiva kartavya sarpochishtam yatavya. Don't hear hari katha. Sanatana Goswami says, don't hear hari katha. Hari katha is going on. Oh, Goswami has come from Vrindavan. Or very famous reciters come. He's reciting Harikatha. Don't hear it. Don't hear it if that person is not a pure Vaishnava. Otherwise it's like touch the milk which is touched by the lips of a snake. It will not purify us. It will poison us. There are so many Harikathas. They're arranged. Lakhs of people go. If lakhs of people are going, you can be sure it's bogus. Because lakhs of people won't go to hear actual Harikatha. There's lakhs of people, they have to sit for hours on end. Everyone's accustomed to drinking tea. So as part of the arrangement, they have mafat chai seva. Free tea for all. When you're feeling a little thirsty, in the middle of the Bhagavad Katha, get up and go to the tea stall and there's someone has donated 1 lakh of rupees, today's sponsor, that everyone can get free chai. So you can know the whole thing is completely bogus. If no one's life changes, it's all completely bogus. This so-called Harikatha, by which people, they feel, yes, it's very nice to hear about Krishna, and there's no need to change anything I'm doing. I'm very pious. I'm good, I give donations to the temple, I'm very good, and I hear a Harikatha, and I'm a Vaishnava. But there's no change in their life, there's no urgency to surrender to Krishna. Just, I'll go on with life, no difference. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that. Sthane sita shudigatam tanubhaam manobi. Yes, we should go on hearing, remaining in our position. But what is that? Shruti gitam tanuvam mano bhiva. Not just stay in your position. But there should be some change also. That we may be in the position of a householder, but by hearing about Krishna, we should get the inspiration to, within that position, dedicate mind, body and words in the service of Krishna. If we don't do so, if there's no change in our lives, if we don't do so according to the parampara system, if we don't enter into the spirit of anyabhilashita shunyam gyanakam adhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktiruttama, pure devotional service, as is mentioned here, the best is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. So if we don't come to that platform, then our bhakti, so-called, it never really happened. That's why Sanatana Goswami is praising Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is an actual preacher of devotional service. It's like he was thrown in jail for the crime of chanting Hare Krishna, having been born in a Muslim family. And all the people in jail, they were praying to Haridas Thakur that, oh, you're a great sadhu, so you please bless us that we can get out of jail. And he said, no, you all stay here, better. Don't get out of jail. It's very good here. You can all stay here and chant Hare Krishna. You can't do grossly sinful acts and be in Maya. You can all just stay here and chant. Stay in jail and chant Hare Krishna. That's better. Then they all became morose. So that was his benediction. What do you want to leave jail for? Stay and chant Hare Krishna. Stane stita. So what the actual preachers say may seem alarming or shocking, but he has to speak the truth. And if one doesn't speak that, there's so much preaching that yes, you live happily. Your home, your wife, your children, your dog, your car, your cat, and you live happily and give some donation. But that's not enough. What are you doing with your life? How are we living our life? We have to live our lives how ladva sudurla mamitam bahusam bhavante. Manusham ardhita manityam api hadhira. Turnam yatetana patedanu mritya yava nishriyasaya vishya kalu sarvata syat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this hanging on this verse, was hanging on the wall in his Bhakti Bhavan. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to see this daily from childhood, that having attained this rare human form of life, one should not waste it for sense gratification, but knowing that we have to die soon, we should act in such a way that when we quit this body, we don't have to get born again. So later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was writing to one of his brothers, very heavy letter. Why are you wasting your life simply chasing after money? Don't you remember? You saw this. Ladva sudurlabham. After many, many births, we got this human form of life. Why are you wasting your life chasing after money? Very strongly chastising him. So one who knows the execute devotional service without expectation of reward, that we are only acting for the pleasure of Krishna. That is which is taught by Rupa Goswami, the father of devotional service. How to perform the devotional service, real bhakti means without expectation of any material reward. And one who does that is best of these four who are mentioned here, who are all on a elevated status. What's the time? I'm supposed to stop. Anyway, are there any questions? Yeah, please. Mike, please give them.
Maharaj,
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. The stages of attaining, the stage of going beyond the three modes of material nature, is it automatic or some special endeavor is required for that?
Automatic? What do you mean automatic? How can it be? How is it going to be automatic? You just all of a sudden you wake up and all of a sudden you're beyond. What is the process? What does Lord Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Well-known verse. Can anyone say? Anyone say? No, not Sarvadana. No. That doesn't mention the three modes of material nature in the Sarvadana and Guruti. Say it. Say it loudly. Take the mic. Sagunan samatitya itam. What were the first words? Avibhicharini bhakti. Those who take to devotional service, pure devotional service, they automatically cross over the modes of material nature. It's not automatic. That's the nonsense idea that everyone Everyone, in due course of time, everyone will go to Krishna. You don't have to bother trying. Sometimes we say to people, you should take up Krishna bhakti. Say, yes, yes. Whenever he says, when he wants, everything's up to him. Rascal. He wants, but you don't want, and you're blaming it on him. That's rascaldom. It's our fault if we don't take to Krishna consciousness. He wants us to. That's why he speaks Bhagavad Gita, but we don't want to, and then we blame it on him. Are you confused about this? That's why we should hear, otherwise, you know, you're chanting. So, how many years have you been chanting Hare Krishna? It's quite, I mean, I've seen you for quite a few years. It's about time you understood why you were doing it. Yeah.
Once this devotee goes beyond the three modes of incarnation, is there still a fear that again he may be coming under the influence of one of incarnation?
One can come under the influence. If one makes offenses, then one's devotional service can be completely spoiled. Maya's always ready to accept it. Any other questions?
Hare
Krishna.
Maharaj, regarding Virochana, he said, Brahmaji told him that body is the spirit.
Yeah, he said to both Indra. No, he didn't say, he said the Atma means the body. So then Virochana thought that, well, the highest reality is the body.
So what was the idea of Brahmaji to say that body is the Atma?
It's true, but Virochan, he's not fit for Brahmagyan. He's a demon. He's interested in material enjoyment.
But we have heard that Virochan had even given his life for the cause of somebody's.
No. You're getting mixed up here.
Lifespan.
No. You're getting mixed up.
Is it the same? Yep. Prahlad Maharaj's son, Virochan? Son of
Virochan,
Prahlad
Maharaj? No.
So one Virochan is son of
Prahlad
Maharaj. Who is this
Virochan? Who's the son of Bali Maharaj?
Bali Maharaj's mother, Virochan. And Virochan's mother.
Oh, that, yeah, then it's the. Yeah, that's what I said. It's the son of Hiranyakashipu.
I mean, grandson of Virochan. So son of Prahlad.
Grandson.
Yes. So same Virochan.
Yeah. I presume so, because he's the king of the Asuras, and unless there was more than one with that name.
Although there is no much of...
not much mention of him, no.
Yeah, not much mention. But he was very pious person also.
Yes, in some ways. In some ways, Ravana was also pious. He was also Shastra Gyani. Indrajit was a powerful Brahmin who could, he was very powerful in making yajnas. So pious, but the piety is mixed up with the demoniac propensity. So that person is called a demon. Demon is one who, what is that? That, Dvobhuto sargo lokesmin daiva asura evacha. Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asurya stad viparyayaha. There are two kinds of people in this world. One is the devotee of Lord Vishnu, and the other is the non-devotee. So a devotee is called deva, and the non-devotee is called asura. So they may be superficially pious, but at the same time demoniac. And that's a great mistake that's there in Hinduism. That people are attracted to sadhus because the sadhus, they perform, they organize yajnas and they teach them to chant the Vedas. I mean, there are different ones. But their siddhant, there's in Gujarat, there's very, he's popular here in Bombay also, it's Lambadariwala. It's just say, koi asha nahi hai. Naam hai asha. Like in Nirasha Ram. So he teaches Ved and Dhyan and all this kind of thing. But what is that? He says, Samatha hi param dharma hai. What is it? Samatha hi bhakti hai. Something like that. Samatha or prasanta, atma prasanta hi bhakti hai. You be happy and that's bhakti. It is rascaldom. But people think, oh, he's got a long beard. He never speaks English. He's a traditional sadhu. And he teaches, he has ashrams and they do meditation. But what he teaches is demoniac. So it's pious in one way and people are attracted. But the philosophy is anti-bhakti. Atma prasanta hi bhakti hai. So kush ban jao aur yehi bhakti hai. So there's no need of doing anything. Just be happy. And that is self-realization. This is... Virochan was happy with that too. It's the same move. Be happy. That is the highest goal of life. Don't quote me on that. Make Krishna happy. There are so many. Shukracharya. He was so... By his... Brahma Tej, Bali Maharaj became powerful enough to overcome Indra. But when Vishnu came, he denied. By his yagyas, Bali became powerful. And the yagya pati or yagya bhog, is Vishnu. But when Bali Maharaj wanted to give everything into Vishnu, then he denied that. Sarvasvam Vishnave Dadva Katam Vartishyate Mudham Vartishyate Katam. He said, you fool, you rascal. If you give everything to Vishnu, then how will you survive? So he didn't have faith in Vishnu. Ananyas Chintayanto Mang Yejanaf Pariyaprasate Teshan Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamiyam. He didn't have faith in that Krishna will protect us. He thought, we give something to Vishnu, but don't give everything. We see so many pious people in India. Their sons become interested in Krishna consciousness. They become very disturbed. If their sons are smoking, having girlfriends, they don't become disturbed. But if they become devotees, they become very disturbed. And they say, it's good, you go to the temple, good, but not too much. Don't be too religious. Little bit is okay, but not too much. You be like us. We go to the temple once a week. We believe in God. We're good. That's enough. Don't do any more. They're pious. They're the kind of person who will come to the temple, fold their hands, put 50 rupees in the box. I'm good. Bas, no more. So they're pious, but it's mixed with the demoniac propensity of enjoying separately from Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki